cartels of mutually compatible memes. This doesn't rule out the additional role of deliberate manipulation by priests and others. Religions probably are, at least in part, intelligently designed, as are schools and fashions in art. One religion that was intelligently designed, almost in its entirety, is Scientology, but I suspect that it is exceptional. Another candidate for a purely designed religion is Mormonism. Joseph Smith, its enterprisingly mendacious inventor, went to the lengths of composing a complete new holy book, the Book of Mormon, inventing from scratch a whole new bogus American history written in bogus 17th century English. Mormonism, however, has evolved since it was fabricated in the 19th century and has now become one of the respectable mainstream religions of America. Indeed, it claims to be the fastest growing one, and there is talk of fielding a presidential candidate. Most religions evolve. Whatever theory of religious evolution we adopt, it has to be capable of explaining the astonishing speed with which the process of religious evolution, given the right conditions, can take off. A case study follows.
Cargo cults. In the life of Brian, one of the many things the Monty Python team got right was the extreme rapidity with which a new religious cult can get started. It can spring up almost overnight and then become incorporated into a culture where it plays a disquietingly dominant role. The cargo cults of Pacific Melanesia and New Guinea provide the most famous real-life example. The entire history of some of these cults, from initiation to expiry, is wrapped up within living memory. Unlike the cult of Jesus, the origins of which are not reliably attested, we can see the whole course of events laid out before our eyes, and even here, as we shall see, some details are now lost. It is fascinating to guess that the cult of Christianity almost certainly began in very much the same way and spread initially at the same high speed.
My main authority for the cargo cults is David Attenborough's Quest in Paradise, which he very kindly presented to me. The pattern is the same for all of them, from the earliest cults in the 19th century to the more famous ones that grew up in the aftermath of the Second World War. It seems that in every case the islanders were bowled over by the wondrous possessions of the white immigrants to their islands, including administrators, soldiers, and missionaries. They were perhaps the victims of Arthur C. Clarke's third law, which I quoted in Chapter 2. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. The islanders noticed that the white people who enjoyed these wonders never made them themselves. When articles needed repairing, they were sent away, and new ones kept arriving as cargo, in ships or later planes. No white man was ever seen to make or repair anything, nor indeed did they do anything that could be recognized as useful work of any kind. Sitting behind a desk shuffling papers was obviously some kind of religious devotion. Evidently, then, the cargo must be of supernatural origin. As if in corroboration of this, the white men did do certain things that could only have been ritual ceremonies.
They build tall masts with wires attached to them. They sit listening to small boxes that glow with light and emit curious noises and strangled voices. They persuade the local people to dress up in identical clothes and march them up and down, and it would hardly be possible to devise a more useless occupation than that. And then the native realizes that he has stumbled on the answer to the mystery. It is these incomprehensible actions that are the rituals employed by the white man to persuade the gods to send the cargo.